KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
This is Jay Booksbaum, usually from the Grapevine, but here this week talking about MASK and their weekend on May 5th and 6th. Be sure to support them and call them and make reservations. It's a great, great weekend. Rahama, give them the contact information.
MASK, 718-758-0400. You can contact me at Rahama, R-U-C-H-A-M-A, at maskparents.org. maskparents.org. This Shabbaton, Jay, you'll be joining us with your lovely wife. We will have guest speakers. It's a Shabbaton of chizuk, of song, of dance, just to give strength to parents that are struggling with any family member, have gone through it, or are going through it. There will be separate seating if you want. There's accommodations available. There will be men separate and women separate programs. There are going to be rabbis that are going to be announced. Our schedule after Pesach on our Family Matters show. Talk Line Communications every Thursday night from 9 to 10, 6:20 a.m. Thank you.
Good evening and good mode. I'm very happy to be back our second week of our new radio show called Family Matters. I'm Rahama Klatman. I'm the founder and executive director of MASK, Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. This evening, we are very lucky to have Jerry Anna from Paradigm New York on the phone with us. And we are going to be talking about young 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old boys or girls that need inpatient rehab. And Jerrianna, are you with us?
Yes, I'm so excited to be with you, Rahama. It's an honor.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Jerrianna, I know that we do programs together, and we want to share that with all our listeners and let them know what it's like when a parent needs to have their youngster, their teenager, whether, you know, whatever issues they're facing and they need to go inpatient. I want you to describe what Paradigm is and what kinds of issues do you address in your facility, please.
Sure, absolutely. So let me just say, and you know this, Rahama, I'm very excited. We are currently trying to bring our Paradigm program for mental health issues for adolescents to the state of New York, and I am the lead project director, and we are very excited to be offering youth and families a safe place for adolescents struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma. We are a 30 to 45 day residential program where children can come in and still keep up with their core academic subject work so that they don't get behind in school, and work on the various issues, their emotional health issues that they may be facing. So we see a lot of young people who, you know, right now the bar is so high for a lot of young people in the academic arenas. They put a lot of pressure on themselves. They tend to be very perfectionistic. And so what happens is we see lots of different anxiety disorders emerge, panic attacks, generalized anxiety. And they come in, and it's a place to kind of breathe, and families to catch their breath, so to speak, and get the proper testing and diagnosis, and work with the counselors and the psychologists with the talk therapy, and figure out, get underneath those deep emotional layers, so that we can figure out the source of the pain and why that's manifesting itself into an anxiety issue or some type of depression. And then we can really, hopefully get people on a healthier path.
Gerianna, that's very important that we talk about anxiety. So I'm glad that you mentioned it. I find that, you know, I founded MASC 20 years ago. We just had our 20th anniversary, and we've reached
congratulations.
Over. Thank you. You were actually at our event, and
yes.
We're the first lady, Shirlane McRae, was our guest speaker and shared her personal story and her daughter's mm-hmm. story publicly. I just want to say to our listeners that over 19 years that I'm doing MASC, and we have a helpline, we're a referral agency, we have support groups for parents, we do in-school trainings for the staff and camp staff trainings, we do in-school programs for the elementary and high school age kids, we do a lot of community collaboration and programs, whether it's part of the United Task Force and doing a Rebbetzin's Conference, the Rabbi's Wives, part of Nefesh International, where it's over 800 from therapists that we collaborate with to do programs. We're going to have one on Sunday, May the 7th, in Staten Island. Everyone's welcome to call the MASC helpline to get more information on any of the programs. And our number is 718-758-0400. And our helpline is open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's confidential. You don't even have to give your name. You can call up with an issue and, describe what's going on. And then we're able to try and get you the right help, whether it's therapists, whether it's inpatient, outpatient programs, whether it's a school liaison, if your child needs a school, isn't doing well in a program, a psychiatrist, psychologist, a social worker, whatever it is that you possibly may need, we can connect you. So to all the listeners out there, in case you know somebody, a neighbor, a friend, a relative, a loved one, give them our number, 718-758-0400. And I want to go back to the anxiety. Over the 19 years that I'm doing MASC, this is the first year that MASC on its helpline has hundreds of calls from parents whose kids are suffering with anxiety. We have never had that many calls from parents about their loved ones, whether it's somebody that's 33 years old or somebody that's 12 years old that's suffering mm-hmm. from anxiety. So what do you have to share about that idea?
Yes, well, I can tell you, Rahama, that with our young people, we have a lot of children who come in to us that the schools are very good. Some of them are the most highly rated ones here in New York. And with all the beautiful opportunities that the schools give young people, one of the things is that a lot of the educators and principals have been concerned because sometimes what happens is, the way it's explained to me, is that it can become sort of like a pressure cooker. And so what happens is the children start to put naturally, organically, more stress on themselves. And if you don't have a 5.0 on an AP GPA scale, for example, then you may have a 4.7. Then a lot of the adolescents feel, hey, I'm really missing the mark here. What can I do to get that 5.0? And so anything that's less than, in their minds, as perfection, they feel that they're missing the mark and falling short. And so what we do is when we bring them in for the anxiety issues that they're presenting with. One of the things that I love that we really try to uncover is, why are you attending this school? Do all of these AP classes make sense with what's in your heart and what you're truly passionate about? Let's just take the limits off of yourself for a moment and try to figure out what you want to do with your life, beyond high school. And is this school a healthy choice? Is it helping you achieve those goals that are truly important to you? Not to please teachers, not to please parents, not to please your peer group, but is it really, really in your heart, and is it important for you? And connecting those dots to the classes. And so, that's one of the first things that we do when a young person comes in, is we try to, as a team, with tremendous support, figure out why I'm taking these AP classes in the first place, and does it all make sense?
Right, and you have, Paradigm does full evaluations.
Oh, of course, right. That's after the evaluations and the work that we're doing in the academic arena in the classroom with the therapist.
Right. Can we talk a little bit about the parents? Yes. It's hard for a parent to have to put their 15, 16-year-old into a hospital setting, because that's what a parent thinks a rehab is. And it's very difficult when we have to talk to them, to explain to them when they choose to send their child to an inpatient. We recommend only if they are evaluated first by a professional in whatever area their child is suffering. So if it's molestation or trauma, then we send them to a specific set of therapists to decide, and there's a team that works with Paradigm to decide whether or not that's the best fit for them, correct?
Right, correct, right, right. And we do tours. We have the family come in and, go through the facility, meet some of the psychologists, talk to the clinical director, and we want the young person to feel as comfortable as possible, obviously, when they come in. And if it's not an appropriate fit, then, we're all about helping that family find that safe place and that appropriate program that they need, because that's really what all of us are trying to do in this type of work, is get a young person and a family to, into the right program that's the right fit. That's so important. So we do spend a lot of time. We spend so much time with that, Rahama. And I always tell young people, I think it's so important that we let them know as a team, and not just our program, but I'm sure, I hope that other programs do this, because I feel in my heart it's so tremendously important. And that is letting all young people know that just because you may be facing a diagnosis of major depressive disorder or generalized anxiety disorder, that should never, ever negate your dream. Never should you think that I have to give up my love of ice skating or sport or science, whatever it is. This is simply a place that is part of your journey, where we have to be responsible and work on the mental health issue at hand, but never do you have to give up what it is that's in your heart and you're passionate about. And in fact, we want to help you bring that to fruition. But this is simply a place in the journey that is necessary. But, you never should have to give up what it is that you truly want to do. And that's the message we always try to get across.
Absolutely. And there are some times that, like you said, there's a child that would come to see whether or not they belong in Paradigm. And if not, MASC and Paradigm and the therapist that's evaluating the youngster, we put a team together it's a team effort, and we try and figure out where the best fit is, like you said. I would like to introduce Ezzy Finkel, who's on the phone with us. Ezzy, hi, a good
hi,
moment
good
to
evening,
you.
Hi, good evening, Rafama.
How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
Good. How's your Passover, Pesach going?
It was beautiful. Beautiful.
Good.
It's always nice to spend time with family.
Absolutely. Ezzy, you know, Jerry Anna was saying about the parents coming to rehab and having a tour, et cetera. Can we talk about what role you play in the community at large and the firm community about helping place, whether it's youngsters, whether it's 25 years old, 39 years old, 45 years old, whatever age, what you do with MASC and many other agencies in helping find the right fit for an inpatient rehab?
Of course. So generally what I do is I work within the community with individuals and families that are struggling with either mental health or substance abuse struggles. I say individuals and families because generally when an individual is struggling, it affects the entire family. When one person in the family has, whether it's anxiety like you were speaking about, or depression or substance abuse, it's like a tornado that just rips through the whole family. When a family is faced with this, a lot of emotions come up and they really don't know what to do sometimes. They get lost. So what we do is we help the family navigate through this whole process when they seem lost, whether it's finding the right fit for their child, whether it's seeing how it can be covered, can it be covered through insurance, or what the best route to get the child there is.
Right. Ezzy, you know, Joanna had mentioned earlier about stigma. You know, we were talking about seeing the person and not the illness. So MASC, you know, we always advertise that working towards stigma-free with hope and understanding are three steps that we say is educate yourself and others, raise awareness, make a difference, and see the person, not the illness. Can you speak about the stigma part when parents call and we refer a parent to you and they're still scared of, will my child know anybody in the rehab, etc.? Can you talk about that stigma part that we're all the agencies, all of us together are working towards taking off the mask of all of us, of denial, etc., so that we can help our family? So can you address stigma, please?
Yeah, so living in the Orthodox community, in general, it's a very tight-knit community. When we go through things, we are going through it, but we don't think that anybody else might be going through similar situations. So if a child is struggling with a mental illness, a lot of times people think because of certain behaviors that the child is a bad child. But really what's going on, like you were just talking about, is that the child has an illness just like any other illness. And when we see the child for who he is, like Jerianna was speaking about before, they can still play sports. They can still live their dreams. The illness should not cripple the person. Before a family learns about it and accepts it, it's very difficult. Once a family can get through that and accept it and go through the process, that's when the help is there, and that's when the person, the individual, can get that help. And there are tools to learn how to manage this so that we can have, so so that the individual can have a successful life like anybody else.
Right, and we have to remember that it all starts with parents. At MASC, which stands, again, Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids, whether they're married or divorced, we work with both parents in whatever setting needs to be set up for that family. And MASC has support groups. The listeners, you're welcome to call the MASC helpline, so that will give you all the details, the information, where they are, what time, and when. Dr. Tricia Tia runs one group. Dr. Bencion Tursky runs a group. Sarah Kahan runs a group. And there are other groups going on that we can connect the listeners to. Again, listeners, maybe it is not for you and your family member, but everyone knows someone that is struggling, whether they're struggling with anxiety, depression, an eating disorder, or gambling, drugs, alcohol, molestation, whatever it may be, schizophrenia, bipolar, whatever it may be, have them call MASC Helpline from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 718-758-0400. And by the way, if anyone wants to speak to Ezzie Finkel or Jerry Anna, just call the MASC Helpline and we will give you their number and their contact if it's the appropriate referral. Jerry Anna, I wanted to go back to speak about what is the involvement at Paradigm once a 15 or 18-year-old girl or boy is admitted. What involvement does the parents play while their kid is in rehab?
Now, first let me say that someone is coming into our care and it looks like it's going to be an appropriate fit. All the professionals agree. We always make sure that the parents are part of the family program because it's a team effort, and we have to make sure that that parent's emotional involvement is going to be there right from the onset, because on Saturday we have, for example, family day, where all of the parents come in, and it's a pretty full day between 10 a.m. and we finish about 3:30 in the afternoon, and it's a wonderful opportunity for the parents to come in and be with their children in a group setting with our family coach and psychologist, and go through the group therapy process work as a unit, as a team, and that way we're streamlining the communication, and the children are feeling that their voices are being validated and heard, and the parents have an opportunity to also fellowship with other moms and dads who have been just as fearful and have similar struggles, and that's a heavy, heavy component of our program, Rahama. So, that's something that we make sure everyone is clear on right from the beginning.
Yes, so in most inpatient rehabs, they do have family day. And for the religious families, there are some rehabs that do it on the Saturday. They have accommodations to offer to parents to stay nearby or on the premises. So every rehab is different. And, Ezzie and my team, my office, my team, and the therapist of the family members together figure out what works not only for the child or the young adult or the 49-year-old, but also what works for the family members, because they must learn how to support the family member, the loved one, when they are discharged. So we believe at MASC, our message is, if you change the music in your home, then your kids' dance steps could change.
Yes.
Whatever you're doing until now hasn't worked. We MASC, or the inpatient rehab, or an outpatient rehab, such as LSA or SAFE, they will teach the family members and include the family members in the treatment plan while the youngster is inpatient. The family members must go to a group and on an outpatient level so that they learn what the boy or girl is learning in your facility. So when they're discharged, it's very important for relapse prevention, et cetera, that the parent is on board and gets educated at the same rate with the same message that they're learning inpatient. Ezzy,
absolutely.
Are you there, Ezzy?
I'm here.
Hi, Ezzy. Tell us.
We're speaking about family and how it's so important in the involvement. I see it over and over and over again. And so many of the cases and people's lives that we were involved with together, where the family is involved in the child, spouse, parents' treatment, they have so much of a better shot to have a successful life. And that is, people think that we send a person to rehab and they go there and they get better and then they come home, right? Rehab is an amazing place and it's a safe place and we get the skills and the tools. But the real challenge is when we come back out into this environment that we were in before. When the family is involved, when the family is going to groups, when the family is learning about the illness, when the family is willing to do whatever it takes to be involved in a healthy way, there is so much more recovery in the whole family as a whole. And that's what I've seen.
Absolutely. And that's why MASC, on our helpline, we're able to connect families with outpatient facilities in every neighborhood in New York and out of town. We have a wide range of therapists and rehabs and outpatient clinics and intensive outpatient clinics, which is something that if a child over 18, let's say 35 years old, maybe goes into an outpatient clinic first and doesn't do so well there, they a lot of times would transfer that person to an inpatient clinic for 28 days or 90 days. And then when they come out, the goal is to get them back to the original clinic that they were in or therapist, whether it's private pay, whether it's through your insurance, whether it's through Medicaid. We have wonderful therapists that people can connect with through MASC that accept Medicaid as well. And when they come back to their original program, and they don't have to start by meeting a new therapist when they're discharged from a rehab, that is a very big, you know, hurdle that they don't have to go over by themselves to start all over again the story. Why did they go inpatient? So our recommendation always is that before anybody goes inpatient, and not everybody goes inpatient, and it is not for everybody. Agreed, Ezzy?
100%.
It's not for everybody. And not everybody does well inpatient. But for those that we're talking about today, like Paradigm, if they do go inpatient, the best way in all different scenarios is that the client first sees a professional in the field that specializes in whatever the client is suffering with, and so that then A, they'll be on the team to pick the right facility, and B, they will be able to monitor how they're doing while they're in the facility, and when they come out, the client, they're discharged, they have somewhere to go immediately that day so that they don't, you know, have that big chance of relapsing immediately when they're coming back home. Gerianna, would you like to talk about that as well?
Yes. And thank you for bringing us onto that topic, because, you know, when children come into our care, you know, one of the things they want to know right away, and the families want to know this, is that, you know, after 30 or 45 days, is this issue that I'm struggling with, that I'm fearful of, is it going to go away if I work hard in the program? And what we always say is that the circle of continuous healing is really where our focus needs to be. So in other words, no, what'll happen is when you come into the program, you know, between the 30 and 45 day mark, we're going to get you on a much healthier path. And that circle of healing that you will leave our program and continue on with will involve a strong outpatient community support. And the parents, again, are so instrumental. Many of them have discovered in the time that their children come into our care that they have an anxiety issue as well, or are struggling with depression. And so they're aware now that they need to go and see a psychologist regularly, get into a parent support group, whatever that specific regimen is that's going to be so integral and effective for their healing to continue, then they have to commit 100% to that. And so we're very clear with everybody that when you come in, the good news is that you're going to be on a much healthier path, but the commitment has to be there to follow up with the outpatient support once you leave. That is critical.
That is not just Paradigm's way. That is the
right. That's not just Paradigm's way. You know, we have a free aftercare program that we always want our families to stay connected to us, especially if they have a very effective counselor or psychologist that they feel that they are really making some substantial progress with. We always offer that, but many times for Kama, it's additional supports on top of what we offer in an outpatient capacity. And also another layer would be a lot of families involved in their church communities more, if that's an important piece to the healing process.
Yeah, we have synagogues now offer 12-step programs. Mm-hmm. And our synagogues are very involved. In fact, like I said before, we are going to be doing a program for the Rebbetzins. And the Rebbetzins are the rabbis' wives. And every year we have a program which we collaborate with many agencies through the United Task Force. And we pick a topic that is most important in the community. We pick alcohol and drug abuse and, you know, many different mental health issue topics in the past, and we're looking forward to doing more in the future with them, to bring heightened awareness of prevention. Prevention is our main focus at MASC. Like I said before, we have we're focusing on stigma-free. Again, I'm going to mention the three steps that we talk about that we're working towards with stigma-free, with hope and understanding, Step one is educate yourself and others. Step two is to raise the awareness. Let's all make a difference. Let's help those that are suffering feel comfortable to reach out, to get the assistance they may need for whatever it is they're suffering with. And step three is the main thing. We need to see the person, not the illness. And like you mentioned before, both Ezzy and Gerianna. Ezzy, did you want to share something on that?
On the stigma?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, I see a lot, the stigma, more, generally more with the, younger generation. Okay. Mm-hmm. When it's families, reaching out about an adolescent. Mm-hmm. It's in a way, it's very difficult, you know, for a family. By the time they're reaching out, they're not reaching out right away, right?
Right.
It's taking a look, that struggling and going through a lot, and that holding it in, and they're trying to figure things out on their own. They're trying to figure out if there's something wrong, what's wrong. And most of the time, or all of the time, it's very hard, difficult to figure things out on your own, especially when something is so new to you. So by the time they're reaching out, they're already at a point of Gerianna discussed before, the pressure cooker. They're already at that point of the pot boiling over. It's very hard, especially like we mentioned before, within a community, to think that something's wrong with our family. How are people going to look at us? What are they going to think? I remember I was speaking with a mother a while ago, and she struggled with two children for a very long time. And at the end of our conversation, she had so much strength in her, and she was so courageous, and she has done so much for her children. And I said, you know, you should really share your story. And she told me right after I said that, you can help a lot of people, you should really share your story. And she said, I can't share my story because I still need to find shidduchim for my children, right? I need to marry off my children. And what I responded to her was, I understand that might be difficult for you. However, the people that you don't want to know what's going on because you feel like it might affect your family, those same people have reached out to me as well. And my point is that we all have struggles. We're human beings. We're, you know, I always like to say, we're not human beings on a spiritual journey. We're spiritual beings on a human journey. We're human. We have struggles. Everybody does. And by removing the stigma, it's just showing that we're human. We're all human. We're all connected. We all go through things, and through that, we can all help each other. By keeping everything in and worrying about what other people might think is just hurting ourselves, and it's hurting the next one that I may be able to help. I'm usually pretty open about my story. I struggled for many years. And I found that when I do share my story, I'm able to help so many more people because they can connect, because we all have struggles. So I find it, I do find, though, that the stigma is getting less and less, and that's a beautiful thing, and hopefully it will keep getting less and less, and that's through, you know, all these wonderful organizations and through the work that you do, Rahama, by pushing this and speaking about it and showing the families how they can heal. But there's still a long way to go. And hopefully one step at a time, one day at a time, this will happen.
I want to just add, Ezzy, that MASC is having a Shabbos of Chizuk. We are going to be having May the 5th and 6th, which is Friday night dinner, Shabbos lunch, and Shalosh Shudas, Shabbos afternoon. And we are going to be having singing and words of Chizuk to give strength to parents. And we just started advertising. We're going to be advertising more about it in the papers after Pesach. And I want you to know we already have 95 parents that have registered to join us for the Shabbaton. So if anyone is interested in coming just to sit with other parents, have dinner, have Sudas Shabbos, eat lunch, have Sudas Shal Shudas with us. We're going to have speakers and some workshops. It's just for Chizuk and for networking as parents with each other and Zmiros. You're welcome to call if anyone knows anyone, any friends, family members, or maybe even yourself. Feel free to call the MASC helpline at 718-758-0400. We're open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And I want to also bring up that, you know, MASC believes that family dinners matter. And our message we're sharing with the listeners, our name of our radio show is Family Matters. But we shouldn't forget that family dinners matter. And I think everybody is so busy. Parents have more than one job. Some have two jobs. And kids have so much homework, and everybody has another schedule. Today's day is harder to sit down and eat dinner together. But by us, by the Frum community, we're so blessed, we're so fortunate, so lucky to be able to have our Friday night dinners where there's no telephone, no other, you know, no cell phones, no other distractions, and we're able to sit and have a family dinner together and on Shabbos day. So not one, sometimes two times that we have a family meal together. So I want the listeners to understand that maybe it's not you that you're listening for yourself, but I'm sure that you may know somebody that could benefit from a Shabbos of Chizuk May 5th and 6th, and you're welcome to call for more information, our helpline, which is 718-758-0400. We're open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Ezzy, I want to address, we've been talking with Jerry Anna about under 18 years old. Can we just address over 18, how it's different when you're dealing with somebody's parents when they're 15, and it's different with somebody that's 41 years old that needs
to go inpatient. Excellent question. I what I would like to do is share my own experience first, and then share many other people's experience that are very similar. Okay, and that is, when I was struggling as a teenager, let's take substance abuse for an example, okay? Before I picked up any drug, I was feeling a certain way, which I didn't like. I wasn't comfortable. So the drug or the alcohol that I was putting in my system was not my problem. It was my solution. right? My problem was I didn't like the way I felt. I didn't like certain things that were going on. And not so much I didn't like it, I couldn't handle it. And when I put this in my system, I was okay. So here I am, I'm a young teenager. I struggled for so many years, lost, confused, hurt. I finally discover something that works. It's magic. It's a spiritual awakening. It's making me okay. And now you want to take it away from me? Now you want to take it away from me by putting me in treatment? I in my mind, treatment is you taking away the only thing that I was able to find in my life that worked for me to be taken away from me. To me, that's like taking away a bottle from a hungry baby. And that's torture. So I'm going to fight it. I'm going to make every excuse in the world. I'm going to have every behavior that I can think of just to not go in, to fight at any cost, whatever it's going to take for me not to go somewhere where they're going to take away my freedom within, right? That's the way I looked at it as a teenager. So I find with teenagers, a lot of times it's a little bit harder to get them to a place of understanding. However, with an adult, because using drugs or struggling with mental health, I've struggled with this for quite some time already. And when it comes to substance abuse or alcoholism, it stops working, which means it works at the beginning, and then it doesn't do what it used to do for me. And I start having consequences in my life, and I start feeling worse about myself. So take someone who's 41 years old. They had so much more experience within those sufferings and feelings and having the substance make them feel better and then stop working and rock bottom after rock bottom. We hopefully get to a place, they call it the gift of desperation, a place where I'm so desperate, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't want to live and I don't want to die. Right? It's the jumping off point.
Right.
So I find that a lot of times, and it's not always, you know, a lot of times people are in such denial because they lived this way for so long that this is the only way they know how to live, and there's no other way to live. So it could be sometimes just as hard to try to speak to a 41-year-old, or even harder than an 18-year-old. However, with someone who's older, because of all those experiences they had, sometimes it's a lot easier to be able to connect with them, because you have the same pain that you can identify with, you have the same suffering you can identify with, and then you have the freedom that they wish for, and they just want to know where they can get it. That's really the biggest difference that I find. It's not a general rule, it's just with my experience. Today's day and age, adolescents, they use pretty hard, and they can start getting to hit rock bottoms at a much younger age. You know, I've spoken to 17-year-olds that just don't want to live like that anymore as well. So it's not a general rule, but if you're asking me a difference between them, that's a major difference. Another big difference I find is with the family. Usually with an adolescent, the family is much more on board to be involved, to do whatever it takes. Because by the time somebody's 41 years old or 25 years old, many of the times, the individual that's struggling has been to treatment a few times. They seem hopeless. The family, in a way, says, I did what I could. I give up. There's nothing more I can do. Or they got very hurt and they're angry at the person. However, the recovery process for an adolescent or an adult is really the same. It's family is so important by both.
Absolutely.
But, like I said, a lot of the time, it's a lot harder to get a family on board with an adult to be involved the way they should be as it is with an adolescent.
Right. So that's why we encourage when parents call the mask helpline that we start first with the parents so that we can educate them and see how we can move them along at a very quick rate so that they get their loved ones into whatever program. And not always, I must repeat, that not everyone belongs in an inpatient rehab. Not everybody belongs in an outpatient, intensive outpatient program. There are just regular, wonderful therapists that can be helpful, social workers, psychologists. And you can call MASC 718-758-0400. And we are a helpline, a referral agency that offers resources and collaborates with all the agencies to get everyone the help they need. I want to thank you, Jerry, Anna, so much for coming on today with us and sharing that important information about Paradigm. Do you have any last-minute comments?
No, it was an honor to be with you, and Ezzy, of course, and I was just thinking that one of the beautiful pieces of MASC when I was with you at the event with Shirlane McRae, the First Lady.
20th anniversary event.
Yes, the anniversary event. Thank you. I was completely drawn and captivated by the idea that once parents can pick up the phone and make that first phone call into MASC, that they are no longer alone. And I think that that's just a powerful common thread to everything that we've been talking about
right.
this evening. And
thank you
so much for that blessing, the work that you do, Rahama. It indeed is such a blessing. So thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, and thank you, Ezzy. I want to wish you, Ezzy, and everybody out here, I want to wish you a continued wonderful Yuntiv. And we hope that all the listeners will be tuning in for next Thursday night after Yuntiv, when you're getting ready for regular Shabbos, from 9 to 10 on Talkline Communications. Thank you, and good moed.
TCN, Talkline Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
Good evening. My name is Ruhama Bistritsky-Klantman, and I'm the founder and executive director of MASC. MASC is Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. I founded the organization in 1997. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary. MASC's mission is to ensure that all parents in the Jewish community receive the resources necessary to help them raise emotionally healthy families. MASC Helpline refers to therapists, counselors, rabbis, inpatient or outpatient rehabs and clinics that meet best the caller's needs, including we offer support groups for the parents. MASC enables families to take off the mask of shame and rejection by giving them the tools, education, and support to deal with the many challenges that they are confronted with. By responding to issues early on, more serious problems are being prevented. MASC's goal is to promote practical parenting through community education. This is accomplished through our confidential helpline, our support groups, our prevention and awareness programs, our in-school programs. These services are confidential. Our helpline number is 718-758-0400. MASC is an approved naloxone distributor, prevention for overdose, like Narcan. And we can train you 3-minute training and give you a free naloxone kit for anyone that's dealing with a loved one with that's addicted to opiates. So feel free to call MASC, and we can either educate or train in your community or on an individual basis and train for the life-saving drug naloxone. Call 718-758-0400. Listen to our Family Matters show every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on 620 AM Talkline Communications. If you change the music in your home, your kids' dance steps can change. When parents are more educated, they can provide a better example for their child and truly listen for prevention of at-risk behaviors. Thank you.
When it comes to Pesach food shopping, the only thing you should ever have to give up is chametz, not price or quality. Gourmet Glot's year-round commitment to bringing you great products at affordable prices in every one of their departments doesn't change with the Yom Tov. There is no manishtana, no matter the season. Gourmet Glot's values simply never change. Gourmet Glot at 1274 39th Street in Borough Park and locations in Cedarhurst, Woodmere, and Lakewood wishes you a kosher in Pesach. Gourmet Glot. Always fresh, always gourmet.
Make your Pesach sensational with Sleek Sensations full line of shampoos, conditioners, hand creams, hair gel for the Pesach, and moist toilet tissues and a variety of hygienic and cleaning applications that are kosher for Pesach. In fact, their gels is the only one on the market that's kosher for Pesach. Sleek Sensations baby wipes are the only wipes around that have a heter to be used on Shabbos and Pesach. And if you're looking for a superior toothpaste, Dental Plus baking soda is ideal for Pesach and year-round. While prices rise for Passover, Sleek Sensation is proud to absorb the increased holiday costs without passing on to you, the consumer. Sleek Sensation uses superior environmentally friendly materials made in modern space facilities and under supervised hygienic conditions. Combined with the kosher supervisions of the Chul Chasam Sofer B'nai Brak and Bedatz, all their products are good for the body and the soul, as well as the environment. Sleek Sensation is available at your local stores. A happy and healthy Pesach from Sleek Sensation.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
They've been around since 1975. Gentleman's Boutique in Borough Park is where discerning, well-dressed men shop for their clothing. You see, Gentleman's Boutique caters to those who appreciate excellence and great value. Gentleman's Boutique carries an exclusive line of menswear consisting of the finest suits and accessories that command respect. Brands such as Jack Victor, Brewery, Stefano Ricci, Loro Piana, and a full line of top-of-the-line suits from Italy. They also carry a wonderful selection of quality shirts, ties, robes, sweaters, scarves, cufflinks, shoes from Italy, and other accessories. You won't believe their incredible collection of elegant ties from around the world. Aside from great values on outstanding menswear, Gentleman's Boutique offers service that's second to none. You can't buy that on the internet. Their expert staff has many years of experience to help you look great and in fashion, and they won't let you leave the store unless it's perfectly fitting. No wonder people keep coming back, and loyalty does have its rewards at Gentleman's Boutique, where nothing but the best will do. Mention Talkline for a 10% discount on all of your purchases. So come on in now and get ready for Passover at Gentleman's Boutique, located at 4915 16th Avenue in Borough Park. That's 4915 16th Avenue. For more information, please call 718 718- 718-437-1477. That's 718-437-1477. And don't forget to mention TalkLine for a 10% discount.
KCN, TalkLine Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.